Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's happening, folks? We are having nothing but trouble here. I am in Facebook jail, apparently. So I can't do a live feed. So I'm having nothing but troubles. I'm corresponding with everybody. I got no internet signal for my Liberty Rush page. I can't even get to my Liberty Rush page. Kind of crazy what's happening, folks. I'm trying to get linked up here. So let me just do this real quick so I can try to get to the bottom of these technical issues.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio, 347-637-3942.
Attention conservatives, big social media is targeting conservatives like you and me in an effort to silence us and the truth. The free speech social media that you have waited for is here at LibertyRush.com. No longer do you have to be distracted by fake news. Join the war on fake news at LibertyRush.com, the official alternative with no libtard rhetoric. Guaranteed. LibertyRush.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
I never knew about at a funeral or like the last day when an officer has passed, and they actually go and the dispatch will close basically down the radio air for emergency only, and then she will call the badge number or he will call the badge number from dispatch, and obviously there's never an answer. Brave soul has passed away in the line of duty. Felt like something needed to be done or to recognize that, and that's what the song is about. Basically, it's about an officer who's gone down in the line of duty, and he's given his all, and when they do reach out for the last call, he answers back, and these are his words. And one thing a lot of people don't know, I know a lot of cops in and out of uniform. They are very human, just like you and I. Pick and choose what laws they uphold, but they have to uphold the ones that are put in place by our representatives. And our representatives are the people that we put in office. And the same people that are out there with their signs are the same people that are putting lunatics in office. Here's the wake-up call, people. Don't come down on the men and women in blue for doing their job. Come down on your representatives for passing these BS laws and get involved in your political on a local level and fix what the problem is. Fix the problems in our laws today. Get involved in your local politics and get moving. Get moving in America. Become a citizen. A citizen doesn't mean you sit back and collect a paycheck from the government. A citizen means you are a part of the government, a part of the citizenry, a part of the voting and voicing public. And that's what I think the song says moreover than anything else. And if people want to hear it, because I know they do, please go to Dave Bray, USA, right now on Facebook. That's DaveBray, USA.
Yes, indeed, folks. We are having nothing but trouble right now. I cannot get my Liberty Rush page up now. So I'm having nothing but dang trouble. So I'm going to do this while I try to figure this out. I got to get a live feed.
For every soul from every war, across the seas, or on our shore, every fold of our flag, the coffins are laid, the widow's laugh, for every daughter and every son, the price was paid for everyone. So remember him, cherish his name, your freedom. Is breath, our flag still flies. So it is said, the blood of heroes never dies. So for every soul from every war across the seas,
daybrayusa.com, Music on a Mission, Storyteller Edition, Freedom Rings. And of course, tonight we have an incredible show, and I'm in Facebook's jail. I was wondering why I can't create live feeds. I can't create events and stuff like that. So this is news to me. They didn't send me any notifications, even tell me that I was in Facebook jail. So my one of my first times in the Facebook jail cell. So our guest is now, he's going to put his children to bed real fast. And so what I'm going to do here is Casey Massey, folks, fine patriot, Kevin Casey Massey, passed away recently. He'd been on the show 3 times in the past. Once from down on the border as a free man doing border ops with Border Patrol. Then he came on one time after the incident took place down at Camp Lone Star with the Border Patrol guys firing on him and his sidekick that he was with. And then once right after, once he got out of jail and he came on the show then. In any event, he has passed away, and I'm going to play a song for him here in memory of him. Again, it's a good jam by our good friend Dave Bray over at DaveBrayUSA.com, Music on a Mission, Storyteller Edition out now. Get your copy. I'm going to link up my Bluetooth right now here, and we're going to play a great song by our good friend Dave Bray. Then I'm going to read something that was written by Casey Massey himself. And I'm gonna read the whole thing, and hopefully, I don't know. never been in Facebook jail, so this is something new to me. Many folks I know are in Facebook jail on a regular basis, and they seem to get notifications. I didn't get no notifications. But I want to honor Casey Massey tonight, and we're going to play this song. So, folks, please kick back, listen to this tune. This is Amazing Grace and Taps Combined, Music on a Mission Storyteller Edition. Grab your tissues. God bless Casey Massey. Hold on. Fuck. Starting over. This is DaveBrayUSA.com. In honor of Casey Massey, patriot, father, hero. Thank you. That is Dave Bray's version of Amazing Grace with Taps mixed in. And at this time, I'd like to call out a moment of silence for our brave patriot brother, Mr. Casey Massey himself. He put his ass on the line for our country and for freedom, for America. So join me in this moment of silence for Casey Massey. Dear Heavenly Father, as we remember our fine patriot brother, Kevin Casey Massey, please comfort his family and his friends and everybody else who knew him and loved him and remember him. As we honor him today, please accept him into your loving arms, into the kingdom of heaven. Protect him and care for him as he awaits the rest of his loved ones to join him in the kingdom of heaven. Way in the future, way, way down the line, maybe 80 years from today. Life here on earth is short, Lord, we know that. And all of us have fallen short of the glory of God and ask for grace, and forgiveness, and love, mercy. Gone but not forgotten, Kevin Casey Massey, true patriot, American. God bless America and God bless you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hallelujah.
When I get to stop and rest on this hot and sandy trail, walking through this desert, occasionally I fail. In a fight of desperation on this road of life, I know that there's only one true way to beat the strife. With rolling tears at times, I think I'll never make it through. Then I stop and realize to give it all to you, raising up my shield of faith in front of me to fight. With your Holy Spirit, you guide me through the night. Now I call you Christ Messiah. I call you King of Kings. You have risen from the grave with the keys to set this sinner free. People see me in the vineyard, serving in your name. They notice how I've changed, my life is not the same. Often they will ask, of the change come over me. I tell them how Jesus set this sinner free. And I call you Christ Messiah. And I call you King of Kings, for you have risen from the grave with the keys to set this sinner free. You've risen from the grave with the keys to set the sinner free.
Mark E. Smith, Christ Messiah. I'm just in shock. I'm in disbelief as to what's gone on here. And Corey, if you're on the line right now and you've pressed one, because I got a bunch of people on the line here, the switchboard's lit up pretty good. Send me a PM or go look at your private message real quick and take a look. I'm asking what area code you're in so I can pick up the right line. I see Sharon is there. She pressed one earlier, but I like to bring Corey on first and then Sharon. And then we'll move through this wonderful show in remembrance and honoring of a great American patriot who stood tall for our country and for this national security of our country. All right, so he's in the live feed. Yeah, just want to read this. I'll read this after we bring Corey on, because he's got to go. He can't stay on the whole show, so. Okay, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I want to bring on Casey's son, Corey Massey. Switchboard's lit up, so I want to thank everybody for calling. Ladies and gentlemen, Corey Massey. Welcome to the show, Corey.
What's up, Bob?
Having a lot of technical difficulties here tonight. It's been ridiculous. Because, you know, I got put in Facebook jail, and they didn't send me any notifications to let me know until I tried to do something, post a live video. All my shows go on live feed. I get good audience there on the live feed. I'm a part of a new group called Liberty Rush, libertyrush.com. And for some reason, I must have forgot my password that I set up today. So I couldn't even get to that. So we are live on Blog Talk Radio. The switchboard's lit up. We have a few folks listening. Friend Sharon Dearington is there as well. But first, I want to talk to you, sir, and say I'm so sorry for your loss. This is really crazy because I've been friends and talking with KC for many, many years now, since at least 2014, when he was down at Camp Lone Star with Rusty Montes and the fellas down there. What do they call them? Rusty's Wranglers. Down on the border.
Wranglers or Rangers? I don't remember.
Oh, yeah, Rangers. I had him on before all the trouble happened. He was down there doing border ops, and I had a lot of the people down there. I had Sharon come on the show, and Bethany come on the show, and Rusty come on the show, and KC came on the show. He come on the show three times. Before he got in this mess with the setup, right before he went to court, and right after he got out of jail on these bogus charges, before he had to do what he had to do to protect his family, friends, and his honor of his good name. And again, I want to thank you and send my condolences and prayers to the family at this time. What I really want to know is, I'm sorry, I'm just a little emotional right now, because, you know, it's horrible when stuff like this happens. What is the fondest memory you have of your dad? Because I want to memorialize and memorize him, the good, the bad, whatever. But we want to remember him for the good man that he became as a father, as a patriot. And what is one of your most fondest memories of your dad growing up?
Man, I don't know. I mean, we've done a lot. I mean, I don't know if I can really just pick one. I mean, I would think my favorite thing that, you know, I'm going to miss the most is just sitting there and having a real life conversation, holding nothing back, and, you know, just soaking in his, you know, his knowledge of life and everything.
Right.
My dad was brilliant, man. I mean, not saying it because he's my dad, but that is seriously, he's the smartest man that I've ever met.
Right. And I talked to him on many occasions, and I'm proud to have made his acquaintance. And we never met personally face to face. I wish I would have met him. There's so many great patriots that I wish I could meet face to face. And because we are such a huge country and there's so much going on all over the place all the time, you can't always just, you know, meet everybody. So I didn't get the pleasure of meeting him face to face, but many people did. And every person that I've talked to that has met him has had nothing bad to say ever about the man. The only person who ever said anything bad about him was himself, you know, and it wasn't even bad stuff. It was just like, when I was young, I got in trouble and I'm better now. That was basically all he ever said to me. You know, I shit happened 25, 30 years ago, and I live in Texas now. I'm good, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know if, you know, many of us haven't seen or heard any of the details. We know the story, you know. He was, they were calling him a fugitive, which to me is a joke. We got a rogue government that oversteps its bounds and is violating the human rights of people left and right. The civil rights of American citizens to the point where it makes the Nazi Gestapo look like choir boys. Some of the things I witness and see in this country. In fact, I don't know if you know the story of Lavoie Finicum, but the 4-year anniversary of his murder at the hands of the FBI is coming up on the 26th of January. It was my birthday. I'll never forget it. And him and your dad are only just two stories of tyranny rearing its ugly head. The abuse, the judicial abuse of people, the gross violations of constitutional rights, like the Eighth Amendment, is very much being violated by the United States court system on a regular basis. And sometimes I feel like it's our duty to speak up and stand up. And your father stood up and spoke out, and he really fought hard. And
man, that is one thing he has never been afraid to do. It don't matter who it is, where it is. He stood for, what was right. One of his famous
American
famous sayings, I said it, I meant it, and I'm here to represent it.
Right, and you should be proud of your father for the greatness that he achieved. I think that these guys that take their own time, money, energy, resources to the border to protect our national security, because the people we elect to represent us fail to do so, and they don't do what's right by the people that elect them. And so the poor folks in this country are scrambling around under tyranny. Folks, we are in a police state right now. They will frame you. If they will frame the President of the United States using the upper echelon FBI and the intelligence community, Lord knows they'll frame you and me without batting an eye. We're nothing compared to the President of the United States. We are like easy targets for them. They could easily drum up a case against any one of us at any time for any reason. It's really scary. And like the saying goes, when the government fears the people, you have liberty. When the people fear the government, you have tyranny. Right now, I think we have tyranny. What do you think?
I mean, I think you're right. I mean, that you talk to anybody about doing, you know, anything that could make a difference, and you know, I would say 90% of people are afraid of what the FBI will do.
You know, they really have gone rogue. The FBI is pretty scary. I'm sure they're listening.
They got my voice, I'm sure they are.
They listen from time to time. And I really wish that a lot of these agents would really think about what they're doing to American citizens. You know, God-fearing, law-abiding American citizens are really just trying to make a difference and keep our freedom and liberty and the American way of life intact. Because I believe that they are doing everything in their power to destroy this country. Look what's happening in the state of Virginia. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
They're hiring United Nations disarmament people in New York. Kentucky's getting ready to enact gun ban. Pennsylvania.
I don't foresee that going very well.
No, we got a rally coming up on January 20th. Folks, if you're in the Florida area, there'll be a rally from, I think, 4 to 6 or 4:30 to 6:30 on the 20th in support of those in Virginia. And I would say, folks, if you, we should all be having rallies on the 20th in support of what's shaking in Virginia. So if you're out there, get a rally going on the 20th and wave flags and stand up for what's right, for the Constitution and the Second Amendment. Shall not be infringed means shall not be infringed. You know, and I say it all the time, Corey. The Second Amendment is for three things. One is to repel tyranny. Two is to repel invasion by foreign entities. And three, to protect life, liberty, and property. That's it. That's all it's for.
100%.
It's not, and all the bonus things we get, like target shooting and skeet shooting and hunting and, you know, yay. That's all the fun part. That's the bonus.
Yeah.
That's not what it was for. The Second Amendment wasn't written for target shooting. Shooting that little clay little discs that you fling up in the air and shoot with your, you know, 12-gauge buckshot or whatever you want to shoot it with. It's for repelling tyranny. Folks, the Tree of Liberty from
our
time to time.
Moved.
Yeah, and the Tree of Liberty must be watered from time to time with the blood of tyrants and patriots. And I hate to say it, but it seems like we're really inching closer and closer to these hard times, of which I want no part of. I don't want anybody to die because of tyranny, because of rogue government officials.
Yeah, but no good thing comes without, you know, sacrifice. And, you know, my dad, he lived that out.
Yep.
You know, he sacrificed everything, you know, his life to, you know, to show people what's really going on and, you know, to show that you, what kind of person you got to be just to stand up and never back down. And he did that to the end.
Well, you know, a lot of the guys that signed the Constitution, if you look at what happened to many of them, they sacrificed their life, land, and fortune. Many of them died broke or in prison after the revolution, and some died on the battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe two guys out of all the original signers made it and, like, had a life after everything. George Washington, you know, a couple of them, they had something, but most of them that signed that Constitution had a hard life after. They gave up everything. They sacrificed family. They gave up their whole lives, everything, to create this great country that we live in that's now under extreme tyranny. What's next for the Massey family now? What's the next step for you guys now that they've done this horrible thing? What's next?
Man, I don't even know. I mean, it's... Right now, it's just, you know, taking it in and, you know, just trying to work through it. I mean, I have a real young family, and I'm the source of income. My third kid's due to be born the 23rd of this month. So, for me, it's, you know, it's real, real hard right now.
Right. Well, congratulations on the new
kid. I appreciate it. And my sister, she's a Marine, so.
God bless her. Hallelujah. I love my veterans and those who served our great country and who are serving and who will serve. Especially now we got crazy leftist wacko Democrats mad that we killed one of the biggest terrorists in the world.
They've been mad about everything.
I'm telling you, if they can't impeach him on anything real, I think we're going to hear something like, well, President Trump, when he was a real estate mogul in Manhattan in 1982, farted in church, so we got to impeach him.
That's what it seems like they're trying to come to. I mean, he, you know, he's done a lot of stuff that nobody, you know, has the balls to do. And, you know, every
President
time he
Trump,
does that, then somebody has to cry.
President Trump cured cancer. Oh, my God, impeach him.
He didn't do it the right way.
Yeah, you know, he didn't consult with the Democrats and get congressional permission to cure cancer. So now we have to impeach him. Crying out loud. Boy.
Yeah, that's what it's like.
So I'm going to read something. I think you posted this. I don't know if you want me to read this on the air, so I'll ask you first. It was a, you know, telling folks about the memorial on January 10th.
Yeah, that's,
can I read this statement from the Facebook page? All right, this is from Corey, folks. It's a mutual decision of my siblings and himself. They have decided to let Dad's memorial be an open to the public event. We all know Dad loved a lot of people and touched the hearts of many, and that he was loved by many. So if you would like to join us for our goodbye and to say your last words, you are welcome. Share this to reach whoever. We won't deny folks that loved him. However, we will not deal with petty games or childish. You will be promptly removed if you cause or engage in any problems. Have respect for our family, please. Feel free to contact one of us. The memorial will be held at Lynch Funeral Home in Greenville, Texas, on January 10th at 3 p.m. 4238 Highway 34, South Greenville, Texas, 75402. So, folks, if you wish to join the service with respect and kindness to the family, please do. They're asking folks that knew and loved him to please come down and join in the service and the memorial, as it will be an amazing memorial. And I'm sure a good friend of ours, Sharon Dearington, will be out at the memorial, and I'm going to welcome her to the show right now. Corey, say hello to Sharon. Sharon, say hello to Corey and welcome to the show.
Hey, Corey. Hey, y'all are in my thoughts,
Sharon,
and prayers, all of your family. You know I loved your dad like a brother.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm getting a little emotional myself. Yeah.
It's really hard.
And I have lots of great stories between your dad and I. We had lots of talks. You know, your dad always accepted me because he's such a great man, a great patriot. And, you know, I was one of the few women down there that actually were trying to help. There were a lot of great women, don't get me wrong. But he never treated me any different. And some of the guys did, and it wasn't always easy, but you know what? I'm a strong Texas woman, and I stood my ground. And when all that happened, when they took your dad away, I kept that camp going. And a lot of men didn't like it, and that's just too bad. But we did what we had to do, and I do have some great memories of your dad, and I'd just like to share a couple of them real quick with you guys. And I thank all of you for being here. And Mark, thank you for having this, because we need this, because our hearts are broken. Your dad and I sat in one of the bedrooms of the camp house one night, and we were just chit-chatting, and I don't even know how it came up, but we both kind of looked at each other, and I said, you know, KC, we're all a spoke in the wheel. We all have something to give here. And your dad said, yep, and that wheel won't roll without all the spokes. And I'll just share one more thing real quick, and then I want other people to be able to share their stories as well. I remember one time, it was in the middle of the day, and we were down on the river, and your dad was such a character, it just makes me laugh thinking about it. But we were all down on the river and watching some illegals who had huge backpacks, and they were fishing, supposedly fishing, right? And your dad started he was bantering with them back and forth, and I remember I was laughing so hard, but your dad was having a great time, and those guys ended up going back up the hill on the other side. But anyway, I could go on and on and on, but I'm not, because I want other people to have a chance to share their great memories of your dad. He was a gentle giant. He was a great guy.
I actually think that video is on YouTube.
It probably is, but I was back in the I want to say the woods, but it really wasn't the woods. Back in the brush, I guess. But your dad and LaVoy, they're going to be in the history books, dude. They're going to be there because they are definitely freedom fighters. And I am honored to have met your dad and been with your dad and known your dad. And I'm so sorry for your loss. And I'm going to do my damnedest to be there Friday. It's a 6-hour drive for me, but I'm going to do my damnedest to be there. And I love you guys. And if you need anything, please reach out to me. And thanks again, Mark.
I appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am. And it's my pleasure. Sharon, we've been friends now for a long time. I don't know if you remember the first time Casey came on, but it was before the whole thing with the Border Patrol even happened. It was I had him on before I even had Rusty on the show.
I know, right?
And I had you on the show before I had Rusty on the show.
Yeah. Oh, and I just like to say real quick, if I could, Corey, I reached out to Rusty because I wanted to be the one. I don't know if you did, but I wanted to be the one or one of the first ones to tell him about Casey. And he sends his prayers. And he's kind of holed up in a nursing home right now. He's not doing real great. But he was so sad. And he said, if I did talk to you guys, to let you know that he sends his love.
Well, if you talk to me, tell me we appreciate it.
I will.
I hadn't seen Rusty since I was down there on the border, and then I don't have any of his contact.
Yeah. Well, yeah. If you'd like to have it, reach out to me, message me or whatever, and I'll get you that, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, he's okay. Battling right now himself. Rusty's another great patriot. I had tried to get the folks from We Build the Wall, Brian Colfage and those guys down there, and I don't know what happened. They made some contacts. I don't know exactly what happened, but they didn't go to his property to put up a wall. I'm kind of shocked because some of the stories Rusty told me. Sharon, one of the last times I spoke with Rusty, he called me up on the phone. Listen to this, Corey. You won't believe this story. Well, you might believe this story because, you know, you guys are all down there. But he calls me up on the phone. He's like, Mark, he's like in tears. He's like, right across the river, the cartel just set a car on fire and shot 100 rounds, and there's a family in the car on the other side of the river, and I can't do nothing. And he was like in tears, watching a family get burned up and shot to bits on the other side of the border. And I think it was like a warning, you know, for patriots on the other side. Hey, look what we do. Mess with us. This is what we're going to do. And he was beside himself because there's nothing you can do. Here you are in America, and he's over there, and they're over there in Mexico, right on the other side of the river, shooting a car and burning a family. It's unbelievable what's happening, and that people would allow this to want to come into this country is beyond me. And great patriots like you, Sharon, I remember the stories, you know. Oh, we were just making lunch and cleaning up the camp, you know, and just so much great togetherness was occurring down there at Camp Lone Star. I just wish that things would not have fallen apart in such a way due to rogue agents in the Border Patrol. Now, not all Border Patrol agents are bad people. Of course, we know many stories of great things happening by Border Patrol agents. But again, their hands are so tied, and they can't do anything. Their backs are against the wall. They're not even supposed to use their guns. They could be getting shot at. It's like Obama's rules of engagement on the battlefield. Hold on, let me call the boss. the enemy is engaging us. They're shooting at us. They're attacking us. Can we fire back? No. What? And then, you know, it's just the situation. I've done many, many shows on the border since about 2013. So many shows. It's one of the things that I've been riled up about since I started my show back in 2013 is the border crisis. Most of our ancestors came here on a boat to Ellis Island. got papers, got registered, got signed in legally, and then built the greatest nation in the world. And so now we got these people, they pour across the border and expect all this free stuff while we have homeless veterans. It's really homeless anybody that's American is beyond me. And good Americans are sacrificing everything they have to try and protect the national security of this country from illegal invaders with gigantic backpacks on coming across the border. And we got a president who's really trying now to stop this mess, who's a real patriot. I wish we had this president when Camp Lone Star was popular, when everything was happening at Camp Lone Star, everybody was down there. President Trump was the president. I believe he would have been in Camp Lone Star making a visit.
Well, absolutely. I'll tell you, Mark, not to interrupt, but I'll tell you that I did have some contacts, some great contacts through some of my friends, and I actually sent President Trump an invitation. This was after Casey had gotten with the issues. I had actually sent or been given the information to send him pictures and, of course, an invitation to come to Camp Lone Star. But it didn't happen, and I don't know why, and I could probably understand why, but I think he had been in Laredo. But he was sent an invitation. So he did know, I think he did know about it because I did get several phone calls back. But anyway, that's kind of beside the point, but I just want to throw that in there. So.
Right. Well, I know that the president really has his heart and his intentions are in the right place to protect the national security of this country, not only by on the border, but around the globe as witnessed by this great, great incident of blowing the shellac off the car of the biggest Iranian terrorist on earth. Do you know that the killing of this general is the second highest military official killed by the United States and the most highest since 1943?
Nice.
Which is World War II. So, like, this is seriously going to go down in history. Now, Sharon, you had mentioned Lavoy. I just want to pass this along. On January 23rd, as she's driving to John Day, Oregon, to commemorate the loss of her husband, Jeanette Finnegan will be joining us at 8 p.m. And we'll be playing the Ballad of Lavoy Finnegan, and we'll be, you know, paying tribute to him as well. Another fine patriotic American who went down at the hands of a rogue, tyrannical government.
Exactly.
It's unbelievable.
And,
yes, ma'am.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, I hosted a documentary and met Jeanette Finnegan here in Victoria, Texas, where I live. And, you know, Corey, I know it's too soon, but, you know, maybe one day y'all might want to talk to your family and think about, you know, maybe doing something similar like that, too. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there, and I would be happy to host or do anything that I could to just make more people aware. I found out things I didn't even know about what had happened with Lavoy. So just you know, putting a bug in your ear. You may not even want to pursue it. I don't know, but just something to think about.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot more to this story than, I mean, even I know. You know, I was probably out of my siblings, you know, I was the closest in these last years, you know, with my dad. I visited him every single weekend, you know, whenever he was in prison. And I, you know, whenever he got out, I hung out with him as much as I could, you know, aside from work and family and stuff. But I mean, me and him talked a lot about this, but there's a lot of stuff that, you know, I still don't have answers to, or, you know, what happened and how things really went down.
Yeah. You know, I'll just say this one more thing, and I know I keep saying that, but I just thought of something. I remember when I had gone to visit Casey when he was in solitary. I can't even remember what town it was in. And I don't mean to sound was it Brownsville? Okay. I don't mean to sound naive, but I never had been in a prison to visit anyone. And I remember going in there, and I had on a sleeveless top. It wasn't anything revealing or anything. And I told them who I was there to see. And the guard goes, okay, well, we're going to have to check you out, or I don't know, something like that. And he goes, and you need to put some clothes on. And I'll never forget that. And I was just like, oh, okay. Well, okay. So I left, and I had to wait in my car for a bit. And then I came back in. Well, I had a parka or something. I don't know. Anyway, well, I threw it on. Anyway, I got to see KC. And it was like, it was almost like, to me, it was like being on TV, you know, like where you have the glass, he's behind the glass, and you pick up the phone, and you're like chatting back and forth. And yeah, I mean, I mean, like I said, I don't mean to sound naive, but I just have never been in that situation. But we had a good visit, and that's just another kind of a, not a good memory, but an interesting memory of your dad. And I felt like he was glad to see me, and you know, so. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, it was the same for me. I mean, me and my siblings went and saw him whenever he was in solitary, and it was weird going through the, you know, waiting in the room and then walking back to the solid glass.
Yes.
It was definitely
yes.
weird. In Singapore, at least we had we had contact visits, so you know,
right.
I could give him a hug and everything.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, I didn't get to give him a hug, but we put our hands up on the glass, you know, like, yay. But that's another great memory in a way, you know.
Yep.
He was smiling.
Yeah.
I remember his laugh. He had a great laugh. I loved it. So glad we got to share this. I'm really glad we got to share this. Thank you so much, Mark.
Thank you for coming on. Corey, are you allowed to share any of the details of what exactly took place and how he passed away, or is that still not being spoke of?
Well, I mean, I've told people that I've talked to personally, you know, it's, you know, I mean, we really don't know. I mean, we know the cause of, you know, death, but we don't know, you know, exactly, you know, I mean, I'm surprised. No, I mean, I guess all the news outlets have said, you know, the cause of death is unknown.
Right.
I mean, it's bound to get out, you know, one way or another. But, you know, he was found with, you know, a gunshot to his head. So, and you know, we don't know whether it was, you know, self-inflicted or whether it was, you know. Somebody else did it. And, you know,
I don't know him, obviously, like you guys know him, but the conversations that I had with him, I don't believe he took his own life. That's only my own opinion.
Yeah, which, I mean, and, you know, I mean, I know my dad, and, you know, there's a lot of factors as to, you know, to the different viewpoints, you know, and from what I know to be fact is, you know, it could go either way because there's a lot of stuff going on with him. And, you know, there's a lot of questions that haven't been answered and stuff that I'm waiting to hear back from. I have people running down, you know, alleys to find out more information.
Right. Right. And, also joining us, on the line is Bethany. She's going to join us right now, picking up her line right now. Beth, welcome to the show. Say hello to Corey and Sharon.
Hey, Corey. Hey, Sharon. Hey, Precious. Oh, goodness. I haven't seen either one of y'all in a long time. And saw KC. Yeah,
lovely.
I went to see KC in jail and was able to have a contact. We were in a room with a whole lot of other people when I went down there. But one thing that encouraged me is, that was what?
Before he went to camp, because camp it was where he was more free.
Yeah, It probably was. I really don't remember the exact location. But one thing that's really encouraged me is that we live in a very small town, and many, many, many people in our town loved and respected your father. And when they tried to demonize him, you know, when they first came out and, you know, that he was wanted in U.S. Marshals, and there were so many comments then, you know, and then when they came out with his death, I think there's over 500 comments on there, and so many people going on there and sharing their memories and, you know, what they knew of him, and that he was a good man, and that, you know, that he was done wrong, and memories of him in the community. And I thought that was very encouraging. To me, it was. Yeah. Sharon, did you go on that? I'm sorry, Corey.
I did go on. Yeah.
I was just going to say there have been an insane amount of people messaging me. I mean, my phone hasn't stopped, you know, between Facebook messages, text messages, phone calls, posts. I mean, it's been an insane number of people, you know, a lot of them, you know, sending their condolences, a lot of them, you know, asking what happened. I mean, but there's been so many people
so proud of you, you know, to make the service open like that, and to invite everyone, you know, that's really awesome thing for you to do, Corey. So many people did love him. Your sisters and brother.
Yeah, because, you know, at first, like, I was, you know, on the fence about doing, you know, it fully open, you know. I was going to, you know, I'd be fine with a lot of people coming, but I just, with the magnitude of his following and just personal relationships, like, you know, even if I policed it, you know, there would still be 200 plus people. I mean, you know how well known he is from out there. So,
uh-huh.
I mean,
just from our community alone,
show up.
You know,
yeah,
just the Patriot movement.
Everybody knew.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You say Casey Massey, I mean, everybody knows. I mean, a funny story was I was probably 16 years old, you know, being a little idiot. I was speeding down one of these back roads, and I got pulled over by a Hunt County sheriff. And I was scared that, you know, obviously I was scared my dad was going to whoop my butt. So I asked the cop, I was like, hey, I was like, you know Casey Massey? He's like, yeah. I was like, well, I'm his son. He's like, you're Casey's son? I was like, yes, sir. He's like, all right, you're free to go.
Whoa.
And he had friends that were police officers, too. I mean,
he was friends with the entire,
you know, sometimes they
Quinlan,
contacted
Greenville,
me,
Hunt County,
you know,
police.
And everybody loved Casey out here. You know, he was very involved in community, and he had a business out here, and he's just very well known and very loved. And that's why when we, you know,
I was going to say, before his sentencing, he had, you know, letters of recommendation come from the superintendent at my school. He had letters of recommendation mm-hmm. coming from sheriffs. I mean, he had a lot
and
of letters
I'm
of recommendation.
Tell you, when I took supplies down there, you know, food and water and stuff like that, many people filled that van up. And we're talking some, you know, some elite in our area here. You know, really, all walks of life were filling that van up for me to take food and water and medical supplies down there to KC at that camp. So he was very well respected.
Oh, I mean, well respected. And everybody knew him. And it doesn't matter if it was the highest, you know, highest known family in Hunt County, you know, all the lawyers, the police officers, the, you know, anybody, you know, even the bad people, they're like, oh, I know who that guy is. I ain't messing with him. You know,
yeah.
I mean, he touched every, you know, a lot of people's hearts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, you know, oh my gosh, there's just so much. There's just so much to the story, you know, that, and you know, Mark, I could go on and on, and I think there's not very much time left on this show, you know, but these landowners down there, these landowners, Rusty was a landowner down there. These landowners,
yep,
all up and down the border were begging for help.
Yeah.
Begging for help down there. And Mark just said what Rusty saw, you know. And that's
crazy.
The part. I sat down with Rusty before and listened to his story. Oh, my gosh, I've got goosebumps right now just thinking about it. I mean, my gosh, those landowners, we just leave out to dry, you know. And your father went down there and was helping them. And it just, there's just so much to the story that it's just mind-boggling.
I mean, months before he left, I mean, there was a, y'all heard of the First Amendment auditors, I'm sure. They were giving flack to the Hawk Cove Police Department. And my dad ran up there without hesitation, and he jumped all in their face. And he, I mean, pretty much ran them out, pretty much, you know.
Oh, yeah, he sure did.
They didn't even want to come back.
He sure did, so, didn't he?
He didn't care, you know.
He did all these great things, but yet he's been so demonized. And I will say it again, it's just mind-boggling. Because I was there. I knew what was going on down there.
And the folks that knew him or spoke with him, anybody who had any interactions with him knew that he wasn't this person they were portraying him out to be. You know, and I had only spoke to him a couple times, and I could tell that he wasn't this person they were portraying in the media, you know.
Corey, you said that you got a phone call. What were you fixing to say?
I got a message from some dude. His name's J.D. Newell or whatever. That's his name on Facebook. Man, he had the audacity to message me in church and tell me how much of a piece of garbage my dad was, and he's glad he's dead. And it's like, dude, you didn't even know him in person. You know, you haven't even, you know, you have no rhyme or reason. And then, you know, I went to message him back, and he blocked me.
Of course.
Well, it just shows what kind of integrity he has. You know, someone who's in mourning. I mean, it's just, you're his son. Oh, my gosh, to message you, his son, who's in grieving, and do something like that. I'm really sorry, Corey, but
I got I'm a lot like my dad, you know. I got big shoulders, you know. I can handle it. It's just the audacity of people is, you know, really is just it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Now I got a couple of more folks on the line. Maybe try to get them on quick before I wrap up.
Well, I'm going to get off. And I love you, Corey. I'll see you, and hopefully I'll see you, Sharon, on Friday.
I love you. I love you.
Now, Beth, you
bye-bye.
Can hold and listen to
yes.
Beth, if you still want to stay on the line, I can put you on hold and so you can still listen.
I'm going to listen.
Okay, I'll just put you on hold. Don't hang up. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for sharing.
Love you.
Folks, we got another fine patriot on the line. He's the gentleman who contacted me when Casey was getting ready to get out and helped me have him come on after he was released from prison. And his name is Bobby. So I'm bringing him in real quick, ladies and gentlemen. Bobby Ritter, welcome to the show. This is Patriot Nation Radio.
Hello,
what's happening, Bobby?
Hello, everyone.
Hey, Bobby.
Hey, Sharon. Hey, Corey. How are you?
Good, thanks.
She's in a hold right now. She's still with us.
Yeah.
So,
Bobby, Yeah.
Tell us your fond memories of Casey.
Oh, my God. You know, there's so much that people don't know about Casey. You know, everybody knew the badass, the tough guy, the patriot that would get in your face in a heartbeat and don't even second guess it. Okay?
Right.
And he had no problem putting anybody in their place, and I don't give a shit who you are. Okay?
No.
But Casey was a straight shooter. Okay? He told you 100% how it was going to be. If you liked it or not, that was the answer. That you were going to get 100% Casey. He did not sidestep. He didn't sugarcoat anything. And if he didn't like you, he would tell you.
Amen.
He didn't care.
And that's how it is.
But
it should be like that always with everybody.
Oh, absolutely. But I'm going to tell you something. Casey was a very funny guy. You know, cracking jokes, and no matter what the situation was, okay, when he was locked up, it's no secret, they weren't taking care of him in jail. He was sick.
Right.
He had a lot of issues and stuff, and they were not taking care of him. They were not giving him the medicine that he needed. I used to talk to him a lot on the phone, okay? He used to call me, I don't know, he would call me quite a bit, and then he would ask me, hey, can you call this guy for me? Can you call that guy? Can you do a three-way call, which we ended up getting in trouble for that a couple times. But he used to, you know, he used to call me and say, hey, can you do me a favor, forward a message, do this, do that. And, you know, I knew when he was getting out, and he had contacted me as soon as he touched down from the halfway house and all that. But Casey was such a funny guy. And, you know, some of the jokes that he had and everything else, you know, a lot of people didn't know that side of him because nobody ever gave him the chance to get to know
right.
that side of him.
Yeah.
Everybody was
right.
either, I'm going to tell you what, there was no middle. Either you feared Casey Massey or you loved Casey Massey. There was no in between.
No.
That's right.
So far, we've been on the show. We're on the right side.
Yep, absolutely. Well, I'm going to tell you what. The first time that I met Casey, I used to do a radio program, most of you guys know, called Rage Against the Regime. And we were doing that show for quite a while, and I remember the first time that I was about to meet Casey, and to me, because I was doing Patriot-type radio and constitutionalist-type radio, I was kind of starstruck. Now, I didn't meet him like you, Mark. I never met him in person. We talked about meeting so many times, and it never happened. But I was starstruck. So I remember the first time that I posted that I was going to be bringing Casey on, and I used the word militia leader. Oh,
right.
Boy. Now, not from KC. KC said, you can call me anything you want to call me. I don't know that other people are going to like that too much. Oh, boy, did I get emails, messages, and everything else. People hammered me 7 ways to Sunday. And he goes,
right.
Let's clean it up a little bit. Let's fix it. Let's not put that kind of title on me because I don't think people are going to like that too much. So I fixed it, and I switched it, and then I gave him his own show. Him and James Lewis were doing a show called From Down on the Border with Casey Massey and James Lewis. And they did a show for a long time. And I remember Casey telling me, you know you're going to get in trouble for this, right? And I said, you think I give a damn? I wouldn't be doing the show if I cared in the first place.
Right.
Because I already knew that the government didn't like Becky. The sure and shit didn't like me. So bringing
right.
Casey on was just a plus in my mind. But but hey, you know what? I love that man to death. I idolized him, and I still idolize him. And when I just like I was telling Corey, when I talked to Corey, you know, a couple days ago, and then I talked to him earlier today, you know, I wouldn't even give people the satisfaction of letting them know anything about him. Corey knows who to talk to. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And, you know, it's up to Corey. Corey's the man when it comes to this stuff. You know, I just, me, my my heart would tell me, you know, he knows who to talk to and who knows what to say what to. I wouldn't give anybody the satisfaction of letting them know that, you know, what happened with Casey, even if you find out the truth, Corey, or anything else, or I mean, not the truth, but you know what I mean, find out the facts. I wouldn't even let anybody know. It's none of their business. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
right.
In like this situation,
for one,
you know, I mean, he's gone, and I'm just, you know, letting you know that
grieving.
This is,
right.
You know, the basic.
Right. But also, secondly, you know, Casey had a lot of haters on his page, and it was no secret. There's a guy with the same name as James Lewis that he used to go on Casey's page almost every day when Casey was locked up. I can't even tell you how many of us used to argue with him. He used to call all the women, you know, that were on Casey's page, call them foul names, call them all types of names and everything. And we were thinking that it was James Lewis, meaning James Lewis, Casey's best friend. And we're like, no, James would never say something like that. And he never tried to portray himself to be James. But we thought that it was the same guy. And, you know, it was just craziness and madness. But I'm not going to get into all that. I just, you know, I guess it's about sharing all the goodness. And what's not good to say, you know, about Casey? Casey was Humanitarian of the Year. Some people don't even know that. Mm-hmm. He built houses, yeah. Donated all his money and everything down on the border. You know, he supplied everything for everybody. You know that, Sharon. You know,
I do.
He used to donate so much down there, and food and everything and supplies. And if guys didn't have stuff, blankets, pillows, whatever, he gave it to them. Mm-hmm. Casey was one of a kind. Okay? He was a Patriot's Patriot. And
amen.
99% of these Patriots nowadays couldn't hold Casey's nuts. And I'm just
absolutely
being 100% honest. They couldn't hold Casey's nuts. Casey was a Patriot's Patriot.
Amen.
And that's, I'll stand back good. Now.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bobby Ritt. Rage
yes.
Against every sheet. They heard the show fast.
Yes, sir.
Oh, man. When you said the name, I remember the promo picture for Rage Against the Regime now. That's back in the day now.
Right.
That was.
Well, yeah.
Did you broadcast over World Integrity News Network with that show, Bobby?
I'm sorry?
Did you broadcast that over World Integrity News Network?
Yes, I did. We were part of WIN. We were part of a lot of different networks.
Bobby. I wonder what ever happened to Bobby. He faded away. I think he got himself in some trouble. I have one more.
He got sick.
He got sick. I think he got in trouble, too. I think he got in a little trouble, too.
Maybe.
He was in jail. But I don't want to really speculate too much because he's not here to talk about it. I have one more person I want to put on the line. This lady, she was involved heavily in a lot of the Lavoie Finicum auctions when they were raising money for him and his causes and things that happened with him. And I believe she might have run some auctions and things, online auctions for Casey as well. Her name is Cynthia. I'm going to bring her on real quick. Say hello, Cynthia, to Corey and Sharon and Bobby. They're all on the line with us. Ladies and gentlemen, Cynthia.
Hello, everyone. First of all, I want to send my condolences to the family. And I also have condolences from Jeanette Finicum herself. She wanted y'all to know that she met Casey at a viewing of their documentary. And she said he was a really sweet man, and she could remember the smile on his face meeting her. Mm-hmm. And she just wanted to send her condolences as well. I just wanted to let Corey know that your father and I had never met in person. We had corresponded while he was locked up, and I'd let him know that we had sent some money and he hadn't received it or whatever. Anyways, he let us know to use his name, his photo, however we could, but that he did not want us sending him money. he wanted us to send it to the wives of prisoners that were locked up that had children. That's the kind of man I knew Casey is. I have so much respect. I don't want to cry. I have so much respect for that man, for what he did for so many others. We have calendars, wristbands, all kinds of stuff. Your dad even signed a T-shirt for us to auction off for Jeanette so that she can continue her fight for LaVoie to get justice. And if you would like some of those items, if you will let Jill know, Jill's the other co-founder of American Standing for Liberty. She'll be at the funeral Friday. You know Jill Robinson. If you'll let her know, we will get that stuff out to you. And
Jill,
allow you to have it.
Jill been on the show before.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I think Jill's actually in the queue. So, but Sharon, I love you, honey.
I love you too, sweet pea.
Okay, I'm just gonna let y'all go. I just wanted you to know what he did for so many other women, and those women were so grateful for that extra few dollars to put bread on the table and diapers on their baby tinies.
Right on.
He always stood for everybody.
It was such, you know, it's unfortunate that people have to die like this, but so much good actually comes from it sometimes that it's really amazing.
Yeah, it really is.
From tragedy. Sometimes tragedy brings out the best in people. And we've seen a lot of great. Cynthia, you guys did some amazing fundraising auctions.
We're fixing
like
to
that.
Do another auction for Jeanette. As a matter of fact, we're gonna raffle off that shirt that Casey and so many of the others that were locked up. They all signed it. I've got a picture of Casey in the shirt.
Aww.
He actually took a picture and sent it to us, and we're going to raffle that off here and within the next month or so before she actually has her court hearing.
Right.
Hey, I do want to ask, if anybody has pictures, that if y'all could send them to me tonight, because I have to get all the pictures sent up to the funeral home before really by tomorrow.
Okay.
So if any of y'all have good pictures, I'd love to have them, you know, so we can, because, I mean, really, he didn't take a lot of pictures, and, you know, I'm not a picture person either. So
okay.
It's kind of, you know,
well, I can send you the one of him and Jeanette together, and then I can send you
That's
the one
a great
of him
picture.
In the shirt.
That is a good picture. I've seen that one.
Yeah, it's a great
the one.
And Cynthia, just so that I don't know if you heard earlier in the show, but on Thursday the 23rd, Jeanette's going to be heading up to John Day, and she's going to join the show live, I guess, from the vehicle.
Absolutely. She's a wonderful woman, wonderful friend. And
yes.
Amen. And I, through all of this, stuff, I've talked to so many great people, so many amazing patriots. I got to tell you how comforting it is to know that there are so many people who feel the same way that we do. You know, when I first was, you know, boiling, my blood was boiling at what I was witnessing, I thought I was alone, you know. There's nobody that feels, everybody that's around me don't care. I don't know. And then all of a sudden, one thing after another, and I found so many people that feel the same way as I do about the Constitution and freedom and liberty and the American way of life and national security and immigration. There's so many people. I had no idea. For so long, I thought I was alone. And I want to thank each and every one of you guys for coming on tonight and joining the show and remembering the great man and great patriot. It really is important that folks know the moral and the character and the man, not just what they read and heard or seen in the bogus media, the fake news media that puts out propaganda and bullcrap, tries to demonize people who love America demonize people who love the Constitution and freedom. It seems that folks like that are now the enemy. And if you are a terrorist in Iran and you go to Iraq and get bombed, all of a sudden you're a martyr to Americans who witnessed almost 3,000 people die 18 years ago, 9/11. It's really scary stuff that we're witnessing. But I want to thank you guys so much for coming on the show tonight, sharing your stories and your memories of such a great patriot. And so real fast, well, I don't know, there's a lot here. But this was written, a gentleman, Billy Cobb, posted it. It's from KC. And I'm going to read it here at the end of the show, and I'm going to play the Star Spangled Banner, and I'm going to wrap it up. And again, Corey, I'm sorry for your family's loss. You guys are in my thoughts and prayers. Anytime a true patriot loses their life in such a tragic manner, it's really horrifying, because there are so many other people that I could think of that deserve these kinds of punishment that go unpunished. And Lavoie and, of course, Casey definitely did not deserve what they were given. So I'm going to read this, and I'm going to wrap up the show. This is from Casey himself, and it says, "I am just a person like you. Once I had a family, a wife with kids, a home, and my own business. Turned my life around from what it was, a rough childhood that led to trouble and some decisions that led down the road to a nonviolent felony, theft at a young age. I had not been arrested in almost 30 years. After that, I loved my country. I saw things happening that I felt I had to do something about, some of it right in my backyard, my very own state. So I decided to serve my country and help. I, along with some other patriots, went to the border to help Border Patrol with the stream of drug and illegal immigrants that was going on. Little did we know that the very Border Patrol we went to help were just as dangerous to us there at Camp Lone Star as the cartel that were ushering in the drug people and crime. They both worked together. YouTube videos named BP Confessions show in their own words what I'm saying. We're making a difference. The locals there made sure to let us know that. We helped reduce property crime by 80%, according to the local police. Much of this was recorded and posted to YouTube, and I took footage with my GoPro cam. Along with Alan Varner, a.k.a. Wolf, a federal informant, and John Forster, were patrolling on private property near the Texas-Mexico border when a Border Patrol agent named Hernandez, who was standing 30 to 40 feet away from Jesus, or Jesus, that's what we called John, fires two shots at him, shouting, stop, fired two more shots, yelling, stop. Then another shot, Jesus put his rifle down so he would stop shooting. We were all confused by what just happened. The agent said he was shooting at some illegals. They lied, though, and John pointed his gun at them, which was revealed in court to be a lie. They were not supposed to fire at anyone. CBP used a force manual, unless fired on, but that didn't happen. No one was shooting but the agent and that one of us helping them, American. Of course, more border agents, the sheriff department, FBI, and other law enforcement came to investigate. The sheriff had jurisdiction. All firearms were taken by the sheriff's deputy at the request of federal agents, except the one person who actually fired. Now it makes sense of that one. Now, in the state of Texas, even as a felon, I'm allowed to have a firearm on private property. I was lawfully in possession of my firearm, period. That is not even bringing in the true constitutionality of being able to carry a firearm as a felon. Go read the definition of militia and its exemption that Gary Hunt broke down in one of his articles. See link in comments. Now, tell me, was I charged because I broke the law or because I was interfering with the great little money-making racket the Border Patrol had going on with the cartel? To get one more patriot that had a voice and took action out of the way, sending a message to any who may follow. I was a threat to their corruption. They made me out to be a terrorist, a horrible person. It took 3 years of my life. You can read all of my court documents and in-depth article that Gary Hunt wrote about my case by hitting the links at the bottom of this page. This is on my Facebook page if you want to see it, folks. Fast forward to my probation. From the start, it took a lot of work and help to get parole, probation, and my in my own area where I would have a chance of being successful. They fought to send me down south to die. Once I won the battle, be near home. Even then, they made it impossible. 2 times they tried to get me on false positive for using CBD oil to pain, even though they were made aware of it. I kept getting worse and worse to where I could not even log into to do my check-in on the computer as I was required to. I wanted to live my life, play with my grandchildren, move on. It became clear that they did not want me to succeed. They were not going to let me succeed. How much does one man take? I had lost everything for fake trumped-up charges, my wife, my home, my business, precious time with my family. No more. I was not going to let them take my freedom again, no matter how hard they tried, since when does the rule of law not apply to the government? The Constitution is clear about their jurisdiction. When does it stop? When does the government have a greater right to my life than I do, and I have not created a victim? How can they terrorize a community, yet I'm called a terrorist? When we as Americans, we the people, make it stop, I was making it stop. For me, I left. If they were intent on violating me, why should I let them? You are all letting them take your rights. You are letting them violate you. It's time to start standing now. I left. I was going to die free if I was going to die. It was going to be free, not in a box, silenced by them. I will not ask for help. I don't want anyone else to lose anything because of me. An amazing older couple had their house destroyed because they were looking for me. For a parole probation violation, 3 armored personnel carriers, 60-plus officers, a helicopter, no ambulance, no K-9, or body cameras for a parole probation violation. No, I would not be quiet about what I knew, and they want me dead. Dead men don't talk. They even said that I threatened to kill anyone that tried to arrest me. Bullshit. I was only to defend my life and liberty when anyone tries to take them from me unjustly. I would never murder an innocent person. My son-in-law is a law enforcement officer, and I could not be prouder. They are not all bad. Anyone that has that mindset is wrong. I can't be any more clear on that. They have taken everything from me, but my good name and the good reputation I worked so hard to build is something I will not let them steal. I have been surviving, but I am out of time and resources. I am alone. It is the only way to make sure my family stays safe. Threaten my family, who has no clue where I am. No one does, and no one will. I will not let them saddle me with guilt of hurting those I love. I wear Lavoie's shirt. I know I still see him. I will see him soon. I think of others they have killed as we watched in horror but did nothing. Wake Ruby Schaefer Cox, ripped from his family in prison, and many more. What is it going to take? How many more of us have to be locked away or murdered, made out to be horrible people because we believe in our God-given rights, the Constitution as founding fathers wrote? When is everyone else going to realize that they are going to take all you have sooner than later and take your life? Look in the mirror. Better yet, look at your children and tell them that things are more important than their freedom. There isn't much time. My time is almost gone. I'm so proud of my children, all of them. They know I fought to put their future freedoms before my comforts. But one man with his Lord in isolation isn't going to win this. One man with his hands in the air in the snow. It will take all of us, finally putting the bullshit aside. Tick-tock. 5 years. 5 years is all it took for them to destroy me. Casey Massey. God bless him. God bless you all. The horrible situation that this country is in, and I hope that we can one day get past. God bless you, Corey, and your family. I wish nothing but the best for all of you, and I hope that we can all get past this, especially you.
I appreciate it.
With that, please join me this Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern, for another episode of the Patriot Nation Radio Show. And with that, I'm going to leave you folks with a great version of the Star-Spangled Banner done by our great friend Dave Bray, Dave Bray USA, as the last 20 seconds of the show runs out. Good night. God bless you. And
all
God
right,
bless
you. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Please rock.
Good night.
Love y'all.
Thanks for having us. Love you guys.
Good night, y'all.
Night,
please
night.
Rise and land. Because that Patriot Nation Radio stands for the flag. and we kneel at the cross. There you have it, folks. That's Dave Bray, DaveBrayUSA.com. Used on a Mission Storyteller Edition. Get your copy today. Also, head on over to Liberty Rush, LibertyRush.com. Social media without the libtarded rhetoric. And, of course, Patriot Shit and our good friend Paul over there at PatriotShit.com. Get your stuff. Get your gear. Get yourself ready. Getting crazy, folks. January 20th is coming quick. This is on fire over in Virginia. It's really hot. It's a hot zone. And be ready for anything. We'll be having a rally here in our local area. Hit my page up for the details. A Second Amendment rally on the 20th in support of what's shaking in Virginia. Folks, please get these rallies together in your home state today. And with that, I want to say good night. God bless you. God bless America. And please tune in this Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern, on the Patriot Nation Radio Show. Until we meet again, folks, good night. God bless you. God bless America. Peace and love.